One of the most wonderful experiences in this world is being a parent, but it is also one of the most challenging. Parenting is both complex and demanding, and it can also involve a great deal of worry. As parents, you try and instill your children with the best moral compass possible. But as they get older, children become their own individuals with the autonomy to make their own choices. And you'll learn that those choices aren't always the best. Sometimes, those decisions can lead to them getting hurt or worse. But what if their choices are directly driven by a need to escape their environment? What if there was something so horrible at home that a young girl decided to run away? What does that say about their parents? In this episode of Still Unsolved, we look at the case of Asha Degree, the young girl who allegedly ran away from home. Asha Degree was born on August 5th, 1990, in Shelby, North Carolina. Asha was an exceptionally ambitious and competitive child, striving for excellence in everything she undertook. Even at the age of 9, she was successful in most of her pursuits. She dedicated herself to various activities, from sports and academics to church events, always practicing diligently. As a fourth grade student, Asha was an outstanding scholar who excelled in her studies. At the time, she had recently joined a basketball team and quickly became the star point guard. Asha's parents found it thrilling to watch her growth, confident that whatever challenge she embraced, she would either excel or work tirelessly to achieve the best she could. Asha lived in a duplex in Shelby with her mother, Aquila, her father, Harold, and her brother, O'Brien. Her grandmother and aunt resided just across the street, so she had a lot of family nearby. Asha's family was deeply committed to their church, attending services every Sunday. Asha actively participated in church activities, and she particularly enjoyed Sunday school. The family never missed a church day. Aquila was determined to raise her daughter without the influence of the internet and electronics, believing it was important for Asha to experience childhood free from these external influences and to ensure her safety. Overall, Asha's life appeared to be happy and stable in the year 2000. On Friday, February 11th, 9-year-old Asha and her brother, O'Brien, who was just a year older, had a day off from school. Since their parents were at work, the two spent the day with their grandmother and aunt at their home across the street. Their grandmother recalls that day as being perfectly ordinary, noting that she often watched the children. That evening, after Aquila returned home from work, she took Asha and O'Brien to their basketball practices. The family spent the rest of the day at home, although Asha was a bit down for a while. Aquila wasn't too concerned, as this was typical of Asha, who had just lost her first basketball game. She took setbacks to heart because she was so dedicated to everything she did, but she also had a remarkable ability to bounce back quickly. On Sunday, February 13th, 2000, the Degrees attended church, as was their routine. Asha enjoyed her time at Sunday school and enthusiastically shared her experience with her family afterward. The disappointment from the previous day's basketball game seemed to have entirely dissipated. Asha was back to her cheerful, bubbly, and excited self, and her family couldn't have been happier. Sadly, that happiness would be short-lived. Later in the evening, Harold left for work. He had no idea that he would return to a mystery that would continue to plague his family forever. Aquila recalled spending the evening with O'Brien and Asha, both of whom were very tired and went to bed around 8 p.m. That night, the area was struck by a thunderstorm, causing the power to flicker on and off. Although Asha managed to fall asleep, her mother knew how much she hated storms. Aquila checked on Asha a couple of times before heading to bed herself. So far, all was normal. Harold arrived home from work at around 12:30 a.m. Due to the weather and power outages, he walked around the house to check on everything, including the kids, and found them fast asleep in their beds. He stayed up for a couple more hours to ensure the power remained on. At around 2:30 a.m., he finally went to bed, checking on the kids one last time before turning in. Both were still sound asleep. Monday, February 14th, held special significance for the DeGree family. Not only was it Valentine's Day, but it also marked Aquila and Harold's 12th wedding anniversary, a day filled with love for the world and a celebration of the love that formed their family. Tragically, this day would be marred by the disappearance of a beloved family member. Aquila woke up at around 6 a.m. and went to wake O'Brien and Asha for school. She peeked into their room as usual and called their names. O'Brien groggily lifted his head, but there was no movement from Asha's bed. As she drew closer, Aquila was shocked to discover that Asha wasn't in bed. Although startled, she didn't immediately fear the worst. She thought perhaps Asha had already gotten up and might be in the kitchen or the bathroom. Aquila began walking around the house, calling out for Asha. When she couldn't find her inside, her calls grew louder and more urgent. Soon, Harold woke up. Realizing that Asha was missing, he suggested that Aquila call his mother across the street to see if Asha might have gone there. They soon learned that she hadn't. Both Harold and Aquila were now in a state of panic and promptly called the Shelby police. They responded immediately, bringing search dogs with them from the start. Some officers began questioning neighbors, while others conducted a thorough search of the house and spoke with the family. They quickly narrowed down the timeline of Asha's disappearance to between 2:30 a.m., when her father last saw her, and 6:30 a.m., when her mother went to wake her up. As the police conducted their interviews, they learned that something significant had occurred during that time. O'Brien mentioned that he heard Asha's bed squeak at some point during the night. He assumed she was either rolling over or perhaps getting up to use the bathroom and didn't get up or even open his eyes. Sharing a small room, they had likely become accustomed to tuning out minor noises. He also had no idea what time this occurred. Officers searched the house thoroughly, looking for anything unusual or signs of a possible break-in, but found nothing. Friends, family, and neighbors all rallied together that day, canceling plans and calling out of work to help search for Asha. As news of the missing 9-year-old spread through the town, several people reported seeing a young girl matching Asha's description walking along the highway in the middle of the night. Specifically, she was spotted between 3:45 and 4:15 a.m. One man even turned his car around to offer assistance, but when he rolled down his window to speak to her, the girl darted off into the woods. He had seen her walking south along Highway 18, dressed in a long-sleeved white t-shirt and white pants. He mentioned that he drove by a few more times in an attempt to spot her again, but was unsuccessful. He also noted that a raging storm was happening at the time, which is significant because Asha was known to be terrified of storms. Additional reports came in from other motorists who also saw a girl matching Asha's description walking down the same highway. All of these sightings were in the same area, lending more credibility to their accounts. But that begs the question. Why is it that no one called the police until after hearing about Asha's disappearance? It's strange that no one found it concerning enough to report a 9-year-old girl walking along a highway in the dead of night and during a thunderstorm. It wasn't until news of Asha's disappearance spread and started hitting TV stations that people began to come forward with their reports. Law enforcement does consider these sightings credible, despite the delay in reporting. Search efforts that day were extensive, despite the challenging weather. The only item found was a girl's mitten, but Aquila and Harold confirmed it did not belong to Asha. The search dogs brought in that day were also unable to pick up Asha's scent. As is typical in cases of missing children, the parents were closely scrutinized. Both Aquila and Harold underwent polygraph tests, which they reportedly passed, and they fully cooperated with investigators. Neither Aquila nor Harold was ever considered a suspect. The following day, on February 15th, searchers focusing on the area where Asha was last seen running into the woods discovered some items in a shed belonging to a nearby business. Among the found items were candy wrappers, markers, a pencil, and a Mickey Mouse hair bow. Aquila confirmed that these belongings were indeed Asha's. And that was just one discovery of many more to come.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
The next day, Aquila noticed that Asha's favorite pair of jeans and another one of her shirts were missing. This led investigators to believe that Asha might have run away from home. But why? Asha seemed happy, and there were no apparent family problems. Her parents hadn't noticed any signs of distress or anger from her. It didn't make any sense. Moreover, Asha was terrified of storms. Surely, that would have prevented her from going out that night. On February 22nd, after investigating over 300 leads without success, the large-scale local search for Asha was called off. However, investigators continued their efforts to find her and diligently worked on her case. In the months that followed, Aquila and Harold made numerous media appearances, not only on local television, but also on national platforms, such as the Montel Williams Show and the Oprah Winfrey Show. Authorities continued to believe that Asha ran away and then encountered trouble, either becoming lost or being abducted. Many people think she must have been lured out by someone because there seemed to be no reason for Asha to run away on her own. While Asha wouldn't be the first child to run away, most return home or are found relatively quickly. The case seemed to go cold, though detectives and the family never truly considered it closed and continued their search. On August 3, 2001, a year and a half after Asha's disappearance, investigators received a breakthrough. A contractor working in Burke County, about 26 miles from where Asha was last seen in Shelby, unearthed a black garbage bag that had been buried. Inside this bag was another black garbage bag containing a backpack. The backpack was confirmed to be Asha's. The contents of the backpack, however, were quite puzzling. It contained a new Kids on the Block t-shirt or nightshirt, which did not belong to Asha, and a Dr. Seuss book that Asha's parents had never seen before. The book, it turns out, was from Asha's school library, but police confirmed that it had not been checked out by her. Despite the discovery of the backpack, authorities found no new evidence to reveal where Asha might be. As online sleuths began weighing in on the case, many theories materialized throughout the internet. However, there are two theories that are the most prevalent among the chatter. The first is that Asha ran away on her own. While it seems illogical, the evidence suggests otherwise. There were no signs of forced entry, and Asha had packed a backpack, indicating some level of planning. However, given that Asha was just 9 years old, it's unlikely she remained a runaway for long. While it may have started that way, something likely happened to her afterward. She may have been abducted by someone who saw her walking alone. That said, it would be an extraordinary coincidence for such a crime to occur, especially in a place like Shelby, North Carolina. It is also possible that she experienced some type of accident that led to her untimely demise. As much as I hate to consider it, something must have prevented her from returning home, which she likely would have done at some point if she were merely a runaway. Interestingly, Asha had recently read a book at school titled The Whipping Boy by Sid Fleischman, which tells the story of a young boy who runs away from home. Some have speculated that this book may have inspired her to run away for some unknown reason. The second theory postulates that someone with ulterior motives was involved. Did someone Asha knew promise her something enticing? Did they convince her to meet them in the middle of the night? If so, they must have offered something significant to coax her out during a storm. Her family was thoroughly investigated and cleared of any involvement, and it's important to remember that Asha had no access to the internet to connect with anyone online. However, she was very active in her church and school. Could it have been someone she knew from there? Perhaps, possibly a friend of a family member or a neighbor? It's a chilling thought, but it's possible. Something or someone lured Asha out of her house that night. It's rather peculiar that someone went to the effort of double bagging and burying her backpack instead of simply destroying it or discarding it elsewhere. It's also perplexing that no one has come forward to claim the items found inside the backpack. Whose shirt was that? And why was it in there? As the years passed, Asha's case became even more puzzling with the emergence of some strange connections. In January of 2014, nearly 14 years after Asha went missing, detectives arrested Donald Preston Ferguson from Spartanburg, South Carolina. He was arrested for the murder of 7-year-old Shalonda Poole. Shalonda had been murdered in 1990, but Ferguson wasn't identified as the suspect until 2014, thanks to DNA evidence. Prior to this, Ferguson had been arrested and served time for assaulting a 10-year-old girl, serving 6 years in prison. He was released for that crime in 1997, and it wasn't until 2014 that he was arrested again for Shalonda's murder. Detectives noted similarities between Shalonda's case and Asha's, raising questions about potential connections. Shalonda had shared a room with her sister and had disappeared in the early hours of the morning. Her body was discovered the next day, bound and gagged and bearing multiple stab wounds. Donald Ferguson ultimately pled guilty to Shalonda's murder, but denied any involvement in Asha's case. Investigators have since stated that they have ruled him out as a suspect in Asha's disappearance. In May of 2016, a potentially significant new lead emerged. Police announced that Asha might have been seen getting into a specific vehicle. One was a dark green 1970s Ford Thunderbird. The other, a Lincoln Continental Mark IV, with rust along the wheel wells. However, the police have not provided further details about this lead. Since then, no additional substantial leads have surfaced. Investigators continue to work on the case, with the involvement of the FBI and the North Carolina Bureau of Investigation. In remembrance of the young girl, the town of Shelby has affectionately dubbed Asha as Shelby's sweetheart. For the detectives working on the case, finding Asha remains their top priority. Discovering her whereabouts could finally provide the answers to why she left her home in the middle of the night. What was she trying to get away from? Until that question is answered, the disappearance of Asha DeGree remains still an unsolved mystery.